This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Very happy to welcome Dr. Katrin here, the founder of the German Veterinary Clinic, here to help and here with your questions on all things animal. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Have you added any more animals to your menagerie?
Oh, no. It would be easily done, but no.
We went to Canine Friends last week. I took my daughter. That was my first mistake.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four-year-olds and puppies. She's like, oh, mummy. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we are not. I'm just here to show you that there are animals in need.
Aww.
And when you walk past the pet shop at the mall, this is not where you go.
Exactly.
And she got the concept, but we nearly came home with a puppy called Figgy.
Oh, really?
It's very cute. So, yeah, it was a really interesting experience because they've got 120 animals there and a massive waiting list and really do need extra support when it comes to volunteering and dog walking. So I do urge anyone who's got a love of animals and some spare time or indeed want to sponsor a kennel or sponsor an AC unit to get in touch with them because they're doing some amazing work.
Yeah, it's a great cause. And I think, you know, if you're only over here temporarily and you don't want to get a pet permanently, going out dog walking, you know, provides great contact.
Yeah. And it's so useful for people to, because when you walk a dog there, you need to give some really good feedback on the animal, which is really helpful for people who are going to foster or go on to adopt them. Yeah. So, yeah, please do get involved, people. I really, really think it's valuable. It really is. But yes, I was quite tempted myself. We're discussing cancers in pets today, but as ever, all topics are welcome. Now, I want to get your opinion on this, Dr. Katrin. A new study has come out that says one in four of us has dumped a partner who didn't like our pet. I can't speak of this, to be honest, because we got a dog once we'd got married.
Okay.
But, I say this with absolutely no irony at all, our first dog, I do believe, was like the love of my life. So I can see it.
Yeah.
I can 100% see it. So we're asking you this afternoon, do you put more effort into pampering your pooch or your cat than you do your love? Share, confess. And equally, a study by Rover.com has said that 65% of dog owners admitted to taking more photos of their fur baby than their significant other. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be about right.
Yeah, I think when I look through my photo reel, it's kids, then animals, then maybe my husband. Yeah. Oh, then sunsets and then my husband. What about you? Have you ever broken up with someone because they didn't like your animals?
Well, it's more a case of never having gotten together with them in the first place because they didn't like animals. So I think, you know, with my profession, obviously I think it'd be a bit of a deal breaker if they didn't like animals.
Come on, guys, fess up. We'd love to hear it this afternoon. Messages coming in already for you. It's always a really busy show, so please do get in touch if you've got a question or a comment. And that could be to do with behaviour. It could be to do with health of your animals. And I've got some good news for you, Dr. Katrin, from Australia, actually. Hurting an animal's feelings could soon be illegal. Mm-hmm. Pet owners are also facing fines for walking too many dogs, interestingly. Australian Capital Territory's proposed laws are aimed at protecting animals' feelings, with Minister Christie saying animal emotions need to be considered. So it's all about, hopefully, and this is, I guess I said, beginning in Australia, but hopefully spreading worldwide, about making sure humans respect the feelings of animals. And the proposed law could be fines up to $30,000 and 3 years in jail. You're nodding in an approving fashion.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a subject that's so close to my heart. The fact that, you know, mental and emotional health of our pets is as important as their physical health. And it's quite, I suppose, an emerging area within the veterinary industry. You know, I know that mental health, even in humans, hasn't been acknowledged as widely.
Or destigmatized as much as it needs to be.
Exactly, you know, until recently. And the same goes for our pets. So, and obviously it's a little bit more difficult because we perhaps don't know what they're thinking or feeling. But the more we learn about it and the more studies are done about it, I think the more it's becoming obvious how important it really is.
Well done, Australia. Yeah. A message here from Farah saying, we have a healthy cat who's about 18 months old. The cat will chirp when I am in an argument or raising my voice, or the person I'm arguing with raises their voice too. While this doesn't happen often, I've noticed it a few times. He does a chip that when he's irritated, tucks his ears a little and squints his eyes. It makes sense seeing, as this is probably a stressful situation for him. I've just never heard of this response before.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, but I can certainly see it. So chirrups and meows are really reserved for cat-human communication. So other than sort of your normal cries that cats elicit when they're either fighting or looking for mates, the actual meow is very much intended for humans, and the chirrup as well.
Really?
It is. And so perhaps, I suppose, chirruping when, you know, maybe there's a little bit of stress or tension in the room is quite a good communication tool for a cat to use towards a human. And I can definitely see that cats would pick up on emotions and tension and things like that. So it makes sense. Yeah, very well observed, Faris.
Just their way of saying, stop it, guys.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Exactly.
But nothing to be concerned about. It's just communication.
No, I think not. Perhaps don't fight in front of the cat.
This is Pets and Vets.
Free advice for animal lovers across the UAE.
Lots of questions for you, Dr. Katrin. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I am.
We'll get on to some dogs. Marwa has been in touch saying, my pug was bitten a couple of days ago and now the area is cleaned up. I thought I'd get some advice. There's not been any bleeding since then. He does not limp and he doesn't seem to be in pain. Every night I've cleaned the area with a warm rag and put Neosporin. Yes.
Yep.
On the wound. The wound is on his upper left front leg. Is it worth a trip to the vet?
Okay, good question, Marwa. So I'm presuming the pug was bitten by another dog. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But if that is the case, then I would say a trip to the vet, yes, definitely is worth it, because dog bites can be extremely nasty. So when a dog bites another dog, the bacteria that are in the mouth and on the teeth are kind of injected deep down into the tissue of the dog that's being bitten. So it can become quite badly infected, and just applying Neosporin, so just a topical cream, might not be enough. I'd also say that probably the dog needs to just have his temperature checked to make sure he doesn't have an infection brewing there. And he may also need some pain relief depending on how serious the wound is. So yeah, dog bites can be extremely nasty. So always worth a trip to the vet in those cases.
Okay, wishing him all the best, Marwa. Michelle saying, my pup Torchy is about 9 months old. A Minpin mix. What's a Minpin mix?
A Minpin is a miniature pincher.
Oh, she says he's a crazy little pup. Got two terrier mixes that he's always playing with. Recently, he's started to not put pressure on his back leg. He does sometimes, but sometimes he's standing and it's like he's limping. When he runs with the other dogs, he's totally fine. And if I touch his legs, he acts normal. I'm not sure if I should go to the vet and get x-rays, or this is just a weird quirk that some dogs have.
Yep, another really good question. So this is something really common in small breed dogs. And from what Michelle describes, it sounds like it might be a luxating kneecap. So the kneecap, basically, the groove that the kneecap sits in isn't deep enough in a lot of these small breeds. So the kneecap kind of flips around from side to side. And when it's in the position that it's not supposed to be in, the dog's obviously limp. And then very often it can correct itself and the dog seems fine. However, over time, this can cause quite nasty arthritis if the kneecap keeps popping in and out. And very often surgery is recommended to just deepen that groove and stabilize the kneecap in its correct position. But I would definitely, see a vet and get some x-rays and try and assess how serious it is and whether it needs surgery or not.
Okay. Wishing Torchy all the very best.
Yep.
Jeff has got in touch saying, my mini doxy. What's a doxy? You don't know. I'm going to Google it.
A dog? Yeah.
Maybe it's a dog called Doxy.
Yeah.
Has had all his teeth pulled out over the years. I've noticed this past week he's having problems getting his wet food out of his bowl. I've taken to spoon feeding him or mixing more water into the chunks to make it easier. The food seems to stick to the bottom bowl, then he licks it or pushes it around. I was just curious if Dr. Katrin could suggest a bowl or a better method so he can feed himself in his old age.
Poor Doxy.
Oh, no.
Okay, so well done, Jeff, for noticing and for trying to make it a little bit easier for him to get the food out. Now, we do have a great thing called a licky mat, which I know I always come up with these crazy name things, which is a little rubber mat that has it. So it's quite shallow and it's got little squares in it that you can actually spread wet food into. And because it's so shallow, it would be very, very easy to lick the food off that. You can use the licky mat also to sort of freeze treats in the summertime. It almost looks like a shallow, large ice cube tray. But that's what springs to mind immediately, because a lot of bowls are going to be quite deep. Alternatively, just a much more shallow bowl, or maybe a cap bowl, a very shallow cap bowl. But the Licky Mats, I think he would love the Licky Mat.
Yeah. Aww. Send us a photo. I want to get that understanding of which cancers are particularly common in domestic animals. How are they detected? Mm. Give me the essential info.
Okay. So, yeah, cancers are quite prevalent in pets. I would say a lot of cancers that we see or tumours that we see are skin related or, skin and underlying tissue. Some of them are benign, some are malignant. Cats in particular can get very nasty skin cancers called squamous cell carcinomas, which can affect, their ears, facial areas and so on, and they are malignant. The other thing that we see quite a lot in pets are all types of sort of leukemias and other blood type cancers, lymphomas, that sort of thing. But the good news with the skin, I'll just call them lumps, I know it's a very technical term, is that excision, so actually removing the lumps, surgical excision, very often is curative if you can get big enough margins. So if you can basically cut into healthy tissue and remove all of the cancer cells. So very often, surgery, it has a really good prognosis in that. And also, yeah, we do use chemotherapy and radiotherapy in pets. Not so much in this country because it's quite specialised and you need specialised centres and units that are licensed to use the drugs. Pets are lucky. They don't get as many side effects from chemotherapy. So they don't usually feel the nausea that people feel.
Oh, good.
They don't. They don't have the hair loss associated with it, that kind of thing. But it is a quite a specialist thing, and getting hold of the drugs here and also the equipment that you need to use it is a little bit challenging.
Okay, thank you for that. An interesting one, I think, something that, especially with ageing pets as well.
Yes, definitely.
If you've got any questions or comments for Dr. Catchin this afternoon, I've got a question here from Richard saying, we have an 8-year-old rescue. He went for a shampoo today and the handler said he had lumps on his back legs. They thought it could be his age. Any ideas?
So yeah, that leads nicely on from our cancer question. So any lumps that are new that you haven't noticed before in your pet definitely need attention. So as I say, it might not be bad news immediately. They could be benign lumps, but definitely need to get them checked out. Very often we can tell by taking a little cell sample or a biopsy from the lumps, what needs to be done. Sometimes they can be warts, especially in older dogs, warts or little hair follicles that have been blocked, but it needs to be looked at by a vet.
Thank you for that. And Annika has got in touch saying, hi vets, my pup was pretty brave about noises as a baby. His only big anxiety was car rides. We worked on the car thing with short and happy trips to the beach and places that he liked and provided treats. Mm-hmm. And he's improving a lot. But lately he's been upset by the wind. Mm. Today it's the worst he's been, with him hiding in the cupboard. Aww. Is there any suggestions to help him out, or is it better for me to leave him in there or go in with him?
Aww.
Oh, little soul.
Yeah. So dogs can develop phobias, and one of the most common ones being fireworks, loud noises, that kind of thing, which we've possibly heard about. But yeah, absolutely, wind and sort of the associated mood that comes with wind and the noises that come with that can be quite distressing. I would say definitely comfort him. Dogs are very social animals, and they do respond well to human comfort. But I would seek out a behaviourist such as myself to perhaps address the phobias. We can use medication. We can also use some desensitisation methods. The car ride scenario is a great example for that. So providing positive associations and rewarding with treats is always a good thing. But in this case, if it really is the beginning of a phobia, it might need a bit more.
This is Pets and Vets.
Free advice for animal lovers across the UAE.
And it's your last chance to enter our competition to go and see the Gypsy Kings. Performing at Dubai Opera on the 6th of March. Fancy going along and enjoying a night at the opera on us? Just tell us, are the Gypsy Kings influenced by flamenco or electronica? 4001. Right, we're going to get through as many questions as we can. Dr. K, you ready?
Mm-hmm. I am ready.
Message here from Riet saying, we have a 19-year-old cat. Overall, she is healthy. Is there anything extra we need to feed her?
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations on having a 19-year-old cat. You've obviously been a brilliant pet owner to get your cat to 19. So that's brilliant. I would definitely suggest something like a senior health profile check. So this is something that we're actually running a promotion on in March, because we feel it's so very, very important to to take care of our pets that are getting older. So I would potentially recommend some blood tests to see liver and kidney function, perhaps thyroid levels, blood pressure, those kind of things, just to make sure that, you know, the health is good. And then based on that, I would choose a suitable diet. If everything is fine, there are a number of really great senior diets around that are catered to, that cater for senior pets. However, if anything is found in the blood, in the urine, on the blood pressure reading, then there might be a more appropriate diet for that. So I would do the whole package.
Hope that helps there. And a message from Andrew saying, just to say, we found lumps in the armpits of our Persian cat. We rushed to the vet with my wife in tears, thinking the worst. Turns out they were just hairballs and the vet cut them out.
That's a good story.
Good to hear. Keep those messages coming in. We're going to get through as many as we can. Felix has been in touch saying, how often do vets encounter problems or deaths with dogs eating chicken bones? We've all heard the horror stories of cooked chicken bones, how they can splinter and how dogs should never eat them. But I wondered how much evidence there is for this, and is there something you come across regularly?
Yeah, so scientific evidence, I can't give you the answer for that. I'm not sure whether there have been studies done on that, whether there's real sort of peer-based evidence on that, peer-reviewed evidence on that. However, from my personal experience, I can tell you that definitely gastrointestinal problems are massive. So I have seen a number of very, very nasty hemorrhagic gastroenteritis problems with dogs that have eaten chicken bones, and they can be really, really, really sick. I personally have not seen a dog die from that, but I have seen them be very
really
critically
unwell.
Ill, yeah, in intensive care on a drip for days. So I would definitely always take heed with that. But I'll try and dig out some papers. Maybe I can find some evidence on
but
that.
But in the meantime, proceed with caution.
Yes, do not feed cooked chicken bones, please.
Yannick has got in touch saying, I adopted a feral cat off the street back in September. He was not neutered and was very skinny when he took him in. Now he's plump. I love the word plump. Like a normal cat. Neutered, has his shots, healthy, etc. Likes to play with all the toys we buy him. Sleeps a lot during the day. Loves to bite our feet when we sleep. Sheds a ton and is always meowing for food. Is very lively and can be cuddled. But is there any way to determine how old he is? I've tried to figure it out one way or another, but I really have no idea. I just like a close estimate. Thank you.
Sounds like an adorable cat.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, my answer to that is it's not that easy to find out the age. So in horses, for example, you can estimate, you know, quite closely by looking at their teeth. In cats and dogs, we can get a bit of an idea by looking at their teeth, but really it's looking at the overall animal. You know, older dogs and cats can sometimes get grey hairs around their muzzles and that sort of thing as they get older. But it's really quite tricky. And, you know, perhaps getting close within a few years might be the best bet that you can get.
Especially hard as well if the cat or dog has lived on the streets and haven't
Absolutely.
Had the best care in the early years.
Exactly. They may have aged much more rapidly, because of that.
We're going to squeeze in one more question here, this is from Sarah saying, our cat is always hungry. How much do I feed him? I'm feeding him in the morning, snacks, then dinner, still hungry, always crying and dragging us to his feeding area.
So it might not be the food per se, but the way that you're feeding your cat. So cats, if they're hunting for themselves in the wild, they normally consume about 10 to 12 small meals throughout a 24-hour period. And you can kind of emulate that by feeding little and often, or by giving your cat the Doc and Phoebe mice, I think that we've talked about before on the program, which are like little mice that you can put the food into. So they have to actually hunt for their food. So it gives them something to do, and it's not just them eating from a bowl. So that may help a lot with the crying and the being hungry. So I'd suggest something like that.
Dr. Katrin from the German Veterinary Clinic, thank you so much. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.